بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. مكتبة الموحدين تعمل مع عدة مساجد في المنطقة البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة، يسرها ان تقدم لكم محاضرة بعنوان بيان نصرة الحاكمية بفضيلة الشيخ عرفات بن حسن المحمدي حفظه الله تعالى. Wahidin Publications, in conjunction with several masajid in the Caribbean and U.S., was pleased to present a lecture entitled Clarifying the Issue of Al-Hakimiyya by Sheikh Arafat ibn Hasan al-Muhammadi. Have a fadla, Sheikh Mashmallah. Bismillah
ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, salatu salamu ala Rasulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، خير الهدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، في هذا اللقاء الطيب المبارك إن شاء الله تعالى مع إخواننا وفي هذه الكليمة والتي هي بعنوان الحاكمية أو مسائل الحاكمية، نقول حفظكم الله إن من أصول أهل السنة والجماعة السمع والطاعة لولاة الأمور، فهم يقيمون مع ولاة أمرهم المسلمين صلاة الجمعة والأعياد والجهاد، ويصلون خلفهم سواء كانوا أبرارا أو كانوا فجارا، ويصبرون على أذاهم إن صدر منهم أذى أو صدر شيء من الظلم، ويحرصون على وحدة المسلمين واجتماع كلمتهم. هذه من عقائد أهل السنة ومن أصولهم. نعم.
Began by mentioning the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, praising Him as He is the Lord of everything in existence, and invoking His peace and blessings upon our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, friends, and all their guidance until the day of action. And I bear witness that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, who is one and has no partner, and that Muhammad is His servant and messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And said that there is no doubt that the most truthful of speeches is the Book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He then greeted all the listeners and said, "It's a pleasure to be with you this evening, speaking about one of the issues which forms the foundation of the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is none other than the issue of Al-Hakimiyya. There is no doubt that one of the foundations of our belief, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that we listen to and obey those who are in positions of authority over us. We pray behind them the Jum'ah prayers, we fight with them in the jihad. We pray behind them the aid prayers and obey them in other issues, which are their right. And we are patient whenever they harm us. We are patient whenever they harm us or whenever they are oppressive. We are patient for them in order for the Muslims to be in unity and harmony."
وعلى هذا الأصل إلا أهل البدع كالمعتزلة والخوارج ومن كان على شاكلتهم ولف نفسهم. الله عز وجل يقول في القرآن: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. فمن مراد بأولي الأمر؟ قال العلماء: هم الأمراء، هم الأمراء وهم أولياء الأمور. وجاءت النصوص من كتاب الله أيضا، من سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، ونحن في الحديث المشهور حديث سلمة بن يزيد الجرحي، قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اسمعوا وأطيعوا، فإنما عليهم ما حملوا وعليكم ما حملتم. لأن سلمة سأل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، قال له: إن قامت علينا أمراء يسألوننا حقهم ويمنعوننا حقنا، فما تأمرنا يا رسول الله؟ فأعرض عنه النبي عليه السلام في الأولى، وأعرض عنه في الثانية والثالثة، ثم قال: اسمعوا وأطيعوا، فإنما عليهم ما حملوا وعليكم ما حملتم، فنسمع ونطيع وإن منعونا حقوقنا. نعم.
alaykum. So we think from the foundations of Sunnah Jama'ah is listening to and obeying our leaders. There's always been a difference with the deviant groups, the likes of the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, who refuse to do this. And they refuse to pay attention to what Allah says in His book. When He says, "O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those who are in positions of authority over you." What is meant by "Uri al-Amr," those who are in position? It's in the hadith narrated by Salama. But the Messenger said, "Listen and obey, because you are only responsible for what is your duty, and they are only responsible for what is theirs." This hadith came in the context of Salama asking a question to the Messenger. He asked him, "What if people are put in positions of authority over us, and they ask us for what is due to them, but they do not give us what is due to us?" The Prophet ﷺ ignored him and turned away from him, refusing to answer this question. He posed the question a second time, and the Prophet ﷺ ignored him a second time. He posed it a third time, and finally the Messenger ﷺ said this, "Listen to them and obey them, because you are only responsible for what is your duty, and they are only responsible for what their duty is."
إذن إن حصل شيء من الظلم من ولاة الأمور أو جاره لا ينافي ذلك السمع والطاعة، لأن هذه هي عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة التي أجمع عليها أهل السنة. وقد نقل العلماء وتنقل ذلك اللالكائي والخلال والطحاوي والبربهاري والآجري وابن بطة. وفي المقابل مما يعتقده أهل السنة والجماعة أنه لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق، فإذا أمرك ولي الأمر بمعصية لا يجوز لك أن تطيعه في ذلك. وقد جاء الحديث الصحيح لا طاعة لمخلوق، فإنما الطاعة تكون بالمعروف. وعلى هذا أيضا إجماع أهل السنة والجماعة، لهذا قال عليه الصلاة والسلام كما في الحديث الصحيح الذي عند مسلم: على المرء المسلم السمع والطاعة فيما أحب وكره، إلا أن يؤمر بمعصية، فإن أمر بمعصية فلا سمع ولا طاعة. هكذا يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام. نعم.
So if the people in positions of authority over the Muslims happen to oppress those under their care, the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah with them is that, as all of the ulama have stated in the past in the books of creed, our position is that we are to listen to and obey them. And this is something that all of the scholars mutually agree on. All the books of the classic books of creed that we find, the books by Al-Khabbal, Al-Ajuri, Ibn Battah, Al-Tahawi, all of them, they all say that our position towards the leaders is that we listen to and obey them, even if they are oppressive. The one exception to this is if the rulers command us to do something which is forbidden in Islam. Because we have the general principle that there is no obedience to the creation when it involves disobedience to the Creator. And so, as we find in the authentic narration, the Prophet said, obedience is only in what is ma'ruf, what is known, and what is permissible. And he said in the authentic narration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Muslim person has to listen to, obey to his leader, or listen to and obey his leader in everything that he likes and dislikes, unless he is commanded to do something which is sinful. And if he is commanded to do something sinful, then he is not to obey. Obviously.
هذه العقيدة التي عليها درج العلماء وأهل السنة وأجمع السلف عليها، حتى جاء الخوارج وجاءت المعتزلة وجاء أهل الباطل من الفرق الضالة فخالفوا هذه العقيدة. ومنهم من كان يدندن حول عبارة لا حكم إلا لله، لا حكم إلا لله، وهذا ما صنعه الخوارج في زمن علي بن أبي طالب. فلما سمع علي رضي الله عنه ذلك قال كلمته المشهورة، وهي كلمة حق أريد بها باطل. لا شك أنه لا حكم إلا لله، لكن ماذا يريد الخوارج بذلك؟ يريدون أن يكفروا المسلمين، وقد فعلوا. فكفروا عثمان وقتلوه، وكفروا عليا وقتلوه، وأحدثوا الفتن وسفك الدماء بين المسلمين لهذا المصطلح لا حكم إلا لله. وهكذا تبعهم على هذا أهل البدع ممن سار على دربهم في تكفير المسلمين وتكفير المجتمعات، فيقولون الحاكمية، وهم في الحقيقة لا يريدون إلا تكفير المسلمين. نعم.
This haqeera, this belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is something that all of the Salaf have mutually agreed upon, that we have to listen to and obey our rulers, is something which the people of falsehood, the people of innovation and deviation, have differed with us concerning. And their slogan that they use to differ with us in this regard is that there is no rule, there is no judgment except from Allah, that Allah is the only one allowed to judge and to rule. This is exactly the slogan used by the Khawarij during the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. And it was when he heard this statement that he said a statement which is famous and well known, which is, this is a statement of truth by which falsehood is meant. This is a statement of truth by which falsehood is meant. There's no doubt that this ruling does belong to Allah. But what do they mean by this? The people, when they say, they make this statement, what do they mean by this? What they mean by this statement is that they want to make takfir on the Muslims. They want to accuse the Muslims of being infidels and apostates. And this is exactly what the Khawarij did with Uthman, radiallahu anhu. They made takfir of him and killed him. This is exactly what they did with Ali, radiallahu anhu. They made takfir of him and killed him. And this is what they have done throughout the history of Islam, shedding the blood of innocent Muslims, by justifying it with this phrase, there is no judgment except with Allah. And the people of innovation have followed those early generations of Khawarij throughout history using the same statement. And what they say is Hakimiya. They say that part of Allah's oneness is that He is the only one who has the right to, the only one who is allowed to make laws, and based on this, they make takfir of all the Muslims. Alhamdulillah.
وهكذا بدأوا يجندلون حول هذا حتى جعلوه قسما من أقسام التوحيد، وقالوا إن التوحيد لا يتم إلا بهذا القسم، فهو قسم رابع، توحيد الربوبية والألوهية وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات. ثم زادوا إلى ذلك توحيد الحاكمية، وهذا باطل. حتى أن علماءنا الشيخ ابن عثيمين وغيره من العلماء والشيخ ابن باز أنكروا هذا التقسيم أشد الإنكار، كلهم يقولون إن هذا غلط وباطل، ومن يقول هذا التقسيم أو بهذا التقسيم فهو جاهل ضال. فتوحيد الحاكمية هو ليس قسما رابعا، بل هو من توحيد الربوبية. لهذا ما أجمل ما قاله الشيخ ابن عثيمين عندما قال هذا القول قول محدث منكر، فلا يجوز للمسلم أن يأتي بالأقوال المنكرة المحدثة. ولهذا حكم الشيخ رحمه الله على هؤلاء بالضلال وبالجهل، فلا وجه أبدا لأن يقال إن الحاكمين قسم رابع من أقسام التوحيد، بل الذي عليه العلماء وأجمع عليه أهل السنة أن أقسام التوحيد ثلاثة: توحيد الألوهية وهو إفراد الله بالعبادة، وتوحيد الربوبية وهو إفراد الله بأفعاله، وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات وهو أن نثبت ما أثبته الله لنفسه وأثبته رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. نعم.
Thus the people of innovation have continued to utter this statement, saying that no one has the right to rule except Allah, to the extent that they have made this one of the branches of Tawheed, that they have claimed that this rulership is one of the branches of Tawheed. And they have said that Tawheed is not complete until he affirms this fourth category of Tawheed. And so they take the three well-known categories of Tawheed, which have been described by the ulama, past and present, that Allah is one in His Uluhiyya, or His right to be worshipped, He is one in His Rububiyya, or His Lordship, and that He is one in His names and attributes. They took these three well-known categories, and they added a fourth. They said that Allah is one in that he is the only one who has the right to rule. This is a false statement. This is a baathil, false statement. And our ulama have clarified this amongst them, the Shaykh al-Husaymi, rahimahullah. He said that, indeed, this is false to add this fourth category to Tawheed. And whoever does so, whoever adds this fourth category to Tawheed, then he has been led astray. There is no fourth category to Tawheed. The fact is that there are three categories, and that this issue, the issue of Allah having the sole right to rule, is part of his rububiyyah. So this is part, this falls under part of one of the aforementioned three categories. Not that it's a separate fourth one. Whoever makes this statement says that Tawheed has four categories, one of them being Allah's sole right to worship, then he has said something indeed evil. So it's not permissible for Muslims to make statements that are evil. And so, Ahlul Jama'ah have always agreed that there are three categories to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is his uluhiyah, his sole right to be worshipped. Next is his uluhiyah, his sole right that he is the only Lord, his lordship. And thirdly are his names and attributes.
الذي يعتقده أهل السنة والجماعة أن الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي يشرع الأحكام هو العدل سبحانه وتعالى هو العليم بأحوال عباده ويعلم سبحانه ما يحتاجون من أحكام ومن أنظمة فيشرع الله سبحانه وتعالى لهم كما قال الله إن الحكم إلا لله أمر أن لا تعبدوا إلا إياه وجاء في الحديث الصحيح عند أبي داود إن الله هو الحكم وإليه الحكم فهذا هو الواجب على المسلمين جميعا أن يتحاكموا إلى شرعه وأن يقبلوا هذه الأحكام وأن يسلموا لها قال الله فلا ربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما فلا بد أن نفهم ما المقصود بمفهوم الحاكمية فإن هناك أناس لا يحسنون التوحيد ويعرفون كلمة التوحيد لا إله إلا الله بقولهم لا حكم إلا لله وهذا من أبطل الباطل لأن معنى لا إله إلا الله أي لا معبود بحق إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى فهو إخلاص العبادة لله جل وعلا إخلاص العبادة له وحده نعم
أهل السنة والجماعة do indeed affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the right to legislate laws. He is al-alim, the one who is all-knowing of the affairs of his creatures. And it is therefore that he legislates for his creatures, for the people. What is a benefit to them? As Allah says, الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ Judgment belongs solely to Allah. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُرُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ He has commanded and decreed that you worship none except him. Likewise, we find a sahih, authentic narration in the Sunan of Abi Dawud. Messenger said, indeed, Allah is al-hakam. The judge, the one who legislates, and to him returns the hukum, to him returns all judgment. And so indeed it is an obligation upon the Muslims to return their legislative affairs to Allah, to take their legal rulings from the religion of Allah and what he has made obligatory in his sharia. This is an obligation upon us. So Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ No, by your Lord, indeed, they do not truly believe until they make you, the Prophet ﷺ, the judge in their affairs between them. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَضًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتُ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا And then they don't find within themselves any discomfort with what you have decreed, and they submit. They totally submit. So we must understand what is meant by al-hakimiyyah. There are people who do not even know what Tawheed is. Yet, they utter this phrase. They say, when they come to define and explain to people what La ilaha illallah means, They interpret La ilaha illallah to mean there is no true ruler, no true judge, but Allah. And this is not true. This is not the interpretation of La ilaha illallah. Yes, we agree that Allah is the only one who legislates. However, what they mean in interpreting the statement of faith, La ilaha illallah, this is not the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Means is that no one has the right to be worshipped except Allah. La ilaha illallah is not talking about legislations. And so, present by La ilaha illallah is talking about our worship, who we direct our acts of worship to, how we make our acts of devotion in our religion sincerely for Allah, not directing them towards anything or anyone other than Him subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فظهر أن توحيد الألوهية من الخطأ أن يعرف بتوحيد الحاكمية فيقال لا إله إلا الله أي المقصود لا حاكم إلا الله. هذا غلط وخطأ. نعم لا شك ولا ريب أن أهل السنة والجماعة يقولون إن هذا الإخلاص إخلاص العبادة لله وحده يدخل فيه تحكيم الشريعة، يدخل في هذا، ويدخل أيضا في توحيد الربوبية، لأن الحاكم هو الله كما أشرنا وذكرنا أن من أسمائه الحكم، إن الله هو الحكم. أما أن تفسر الحاكمية كما يقول سيد قطب وأمثاله فهذا باطل، لأن أول من أشاع هذا المصطلح وأذاعه في كتبه هو سيد قطب، وكذلك أبو الأعلى الموجود، وكلاهما من إخوان المسلمين، فنشروا وأذاعوا هذا المصطلح في كثير من كتبهم ثم إذاعته ونشره رتبوا عليه تكفير المسلمين. فكان سيد قطب يرمي المجتمعات بأنها جاهلية ويكفرها، وهذا صريح في كتبه، يأتي إلى المجتمعات ويحكم عليها بالكفر ويكفرها كلها، يكفرها كلها ويصرح بأنها في جاهلية جهلاء. هذه عقائدهم بعد أن باعوا هذا المصطلح كفروا به المسلمين. نعم.
And so, after making it apparent that it is a great mistake, indeed, a big mistake, to interpret La ilaha illallah as meaning that there is no ruler and no judge except Allah, we say that we do indeed believe, there is no doubt, that Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah believe that making Allah the sole judge in our affairs is part of our belief. It's part of the legislation that He has sent down. However, this is part of His rububiyyah, this is part of His lordship. And this is not the meaning and not the interpretation of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah deals with our worship, deals with His uluhiyya. Indeed, we formerly mentioned the hadith that Allah is al-hakim, He is the judge, to Him returns judgment. However, people like Sayyid Qutb and the likes come and they explain La ilaha illallah to mean what? To mean that there is no judge, no ruler except Allah, that no one has the right to rule except by His judgment. And he is the first one, one of the first ones, who spread this terminology, al-Hakimiyyah, in his books. Sayyid Qutb, along with Abu al-A'la al-Mawdudi. Both of them spread these in their writings, and they were both members of al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin, the Muslim Brotherhood. They mentioned this term, al-Hakimiyyah, repeatedly in their books. And based upon their understanding of this term, they made takfir of Muslims worldwide. Of entire Muslim societies and countries and nations, they made takfir on. With no shadow of a doubt, this is clear in their writings, that they make takfir on entire societies. They come to a Muslim country and say that everyone, absolutely everyone who lives in that society, in that country, is a disbeliever. Because why? Because the person who's in charge of running the country, the kings and the likes, he's not ruling by the Sharia of Allah. So this is their aqidah, and based upon their aqidah, you can see what they did. Based upon their false interpretation of La ilaha illallah, they made a false judgment, which is making takfir on all of the Muslims worldwide. Allah Shaykh.
ولهذا لا بأس أن نضرب مثالا حتى إذا طلب أحدهم الدليل نقول له هذا هو الدليل من كتب سيد قطب. فسيد قطب في تفسيره الظلال لما تكلم عن بعض الآيات المتعلقة بالولاء والبراء قال لقد استدار الزمان كهيئته يوم جاء هذا الدين. ثم قال فقد ارتدت البشرية إلى عبادة العباد وإلى جور الأديان ونكرت أن لا إله إلا الله، وإن ظن فريق منهم يردد على المآب لا إله إلا الله. هذا كلامه بنصه في كتابه التفسير، وهذا قاله في المجلد الثاني. فها هو يصرح بكفر البشرية في زمنه وأنها مرتدة، حتى المؤذن الذي يؤذن لا إله إلا الله فهو كافر، فيكفرهم بما يسميه بالحاكمية، فيقول هؤلاء ما طبقوا الحاكمية، إذن كلهم كفار، كلهم على دين باطل، فيخرجهم من دائرة الإسلام. وهذا خطير، هذا هو التكفير الذي كانت عليه الخوارج. وألف كتابه معالم الطريق وكفر المسلمين، وأصل فيه ما يتعلق بأصول الخوارج. لماذا تكفر المجتمعات الإسلامية ولماذا تسميها جاهلية؟ بل إنه يقول إنها تزعم أنها مسلمة وهي ليست مسلمة. طيب لماذا يكفرها؟ قال لأنها تعتقد بألوهية غير الله، فتعطي أخص الخصائص أو أخص خصائص الألوهية لغير الله. قال فتدين بحاكمية غير الله، هكذا صرح في كتابه معالم الطريق أنها تدين بحاكمية غير الله، فكفرهم بالحاكمية ولم يكفرهم بالألوهية. إذن هذا يدل على ماذا؟ على أنهم اصطلحوا هذا المصطلح ثم كفروا به المسلمين، وهو هذا المصطلح يجعلونه من أقسام التوحيد، وهذا باطل. نعم.
There's no problem with us giving an example to prove just what we are talking about from the writings of Sayyid Qutb himself. When you look at his book, Fi Dhilal al-Qur'an, in the shade of the Qur'an, is a commentary upon the Book of Allah. When explaining some of the verses of Al-Wara' wal-Bara', he said that history has repeated itself, and humanity has returned to worshipping the created beings. That humanity, all of humanity, has returned to worshipping the created beings. Even if there are a small group of them who stand upon the places where the Adhan is called and repeat La ilaha illallah. This is in his volume 2 of his commentary upon the Quran. He said in it what? He said that everyone in humanity is a disbeliever, even the people who call the Adhan. So even the Muslims who pray, even the Muslims who call the Adhan and invite the others to pray, they are what? He called them disbelievers. How did he do so? Based upon his belief in Al-Hakimiyyah. Based upon his belief in Al-Hakimiyyah. By saying that because the societies don't have Islamic law as their constitution, you need takfir on everyone who lives there. And indeed, this is dangerous. Likewise, in his book, Milestones, he propagated one of the foundations of the Khawarij, one of the main ideas and beliefs of the Khawarij. That all of the society, everyone is a disbeliever. How did he do this? He said, he called the Muslim countries, he said that they claim to be Muslim countries, and they are not Muslims. They are not Muslim countries because they give one of the most specific rights of uluhiyya, of Allah's divinity, to other than Allah, which is ruling. And so they give one of the most specific rights of al-uluhiyya to other than Allah. So he did what? He made takfir on all of the Muslim societies by claiming that they give one of the traits of uluhiyya to other than Allah. And we said that we do believe that Allah is the sole one who has the right to legislate, to worship, but that this is part of his rububiyya, part of his lordship, not part of the way that he is worshipped. And so you can see just how the people who are the ones who came up with this term, Al-Hakimiyyah, they are the ones who use this term and use their belief in this term to do what? To make takfir on all of the Muslims worldwide. Tafadhal Sheikh.
وقد يقول قائل ما هي الأسباب التي جعلت أيضا هذا المصطلح يظهر وهو مصطلح الحاكمية؟ من أسبابه الغلو وهذا الذي كانت عليه الخوارج، فقد كفروا الصحابة وقتلوهم وقاتلوهم، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حذر من الغلو فقال إياكم من الغلو وإياكم والغلو في الدين، فإنما أهلك من كان قبلكم الغلو في الدين. فهم غلوا في هذه المسألة، مسألة الحاكمية ومسألة الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله، حتى كفروا المسلمين وخرجوا على الحكام، وغلوا كذلك في مسألة تكفير الحاكم، وزعموا أنهم يطالبون بإقامة الدولة المسلمة، لأنه لا توجد دولة مسلمة عندهم، فالمجتمعات جاهلية. وكذلك عندهم من التشدد والغلو في الدين من جهة الولاء والبراء، ومن الأسباب كذلك الجهل، فكثير منهم على جهل وعلى انحراف وعلى ضلال، فهو لم يطلب العلم ولم يتربى على أهله ولم يدرس، ولهذا تجد كثيرا ممن هم الآن ينادون بالحاكمية في صفوف هؤلاء التكفيريين كالدواعش وغيرهم، تجدهم من أجهل خلق الله، ولا يعرف أحدهم ما يتعلق بعبادته بسبب جهله وبعده، فغرروا بالشباب. كذلك من الأسباب الهوى، فكثير منهم يتبع هواه، والهوى يعمي ويصم. إذن هذه هي الأسباب التي جعلت هؤلاء ينحرفون، والأسباب في ذلك كثيرة، ومن هذه الأسباب أيضا عدم الرجوع إلى العلماء الراسخين الربانيين الذين يدركون هذه المسائل. قال الله في القرآن: وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم. فهم هكذا وهذا حالهم، ويأتون إلى النصوص الشرعية الصحيحة ويستخدمونها في هذه المسائل التي ينصرونها استخداما خاطئا، فيأتون إلى الآيات وينزلونها على المسلمين وهي نزلت في الكفار، ويأتون إلى المتشابه ويتعاملون به. هذا كله يبين ما هي الأسباب التي جعلت هؤلاء ينادون بهذا المصطلح. نعم.
So this term الحاكمية was rooted in the extremism of those who propagated it, and those who put forth the ideas of the Khawarij. It was based on this idea. It was based on this idea and the extremism of those who carried it, that they made takfir on the Sahaba, the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that they killed the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself who warned against extremism. He said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُرُوْ, beware of extremism, for it was only ghuru, it was only extremism that caused those who came before you to perish, to be destroyed. We look at those who were tricked by the issue of al-hakimiyya. Part of what they talk about is the rulers. They forget about themselves and about their responsibility, and talk about the responsibility of those who are in charge of running countries, and say that the rulers are the ones who are responsible for establishing Islamic states. And this is also part of their extremism. Also, when it comes to the issue of al-wala wal-bara, the allegiance towards the Muslims and the disavowal of the disbelievers, they go to extremes when it comes to this issue. And you will find that many of them are from amongst the most ignorant of people about their own religion, that never have they exerted themselves in seeking knowledge, and never have they sat with the scholars of Islam to learn their own religion. And you will find them amongst the ranks of the Daesh, ISIS, and the likes these days. You will find that some of the members of ISIS themselves are some of the most ignorant Muslims you will ever find. They have no clue about the rights of Allah over them when it comes to His worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another of the reasons that they have gone to such extremes is because they follow their desires. They follow their lowly desires. And following one's desires is something which blinds. It's something which causes people to be deaf, dumb, and blind. Another of the causes for people falling into this extremism, which has caused them to promote this false idea of al-hakimiyya, is that they never pay any attention to the scholars of the religion. Never do they return their affairs to those well-grounded scholars, well-recognized scholars of the religion. And this is exactly what Allah describes the foolish about. Exactly how Allah describes the foolish when He says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ وَالْخَوْفِ يَتَاعُوبِ. And when some issue related to their safety or their fear comes about, they proclaim it. They broadcast it. وَلَوْ رَدُّوهِ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. And had they returned the affair to the messenger and to those in authority over them, those who have knowledge would have extracted the correct ruling therefrom. And so this is the approach that they fail to take, returning the affairs to those who can extract the correct rulings and draw correct conclusions. And those are none other than the scholars who are well-grounded in the rulings of the religion. And so you'll find that this is always their methodology. The methodology of the deviants who promote the likes of the ideas of Al-Hakimiyyah, that they bring forth textual evidence from the religion, textual evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, yet they will quote it out of place, and they will use it for the wrong things. They will take ayat that were addressed and that were revealed about the disbelievers and apply them to the believers. And so these are some of the reasons that have caused the youth, out of their ignorance and following their desires, to fall into the likes of the issues of Al-Hakimiyyah. Allah.
ومن هنا لا بد أن نعرف ما المعنى عندما يقول العلماء الحكم بما أنزل الله. ما المقصود بالحكم بما أنزل الله؟ هل المراد أن الإنسان أو أن الحاكم لا يحكم إلا بما ورد به النص في كتاب الله أو في سنة رسول الله؟ لا، ليس هذا هو المراد، بل المراد أوسع من ذلك. والمقصود بقولنا الحكم بما أنزل الله، المراد أنه لا يحكم بحكم يخالف حكم الله عز وجل، حكم الشارع الحكيم. هذا هو المراد، لأننا لو قلنا أنه لا يحكم إلا بما جاء به النص ففيه من المشقة وفيه من الحرج. والله يقول وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج. ولهذا الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله لما تكلم عن القوانين التي توضع عن الأنظمة ذكر أن هناك قوانين قد يضعها ولي الأمر تتعلق بمصالحهم، وهي المتعلقة بالمصالح المرسلة. مثلا نضرب مثالا بقوانين وأنظمة الطرق، فهي تنفع المسلمين وليس فيها مخالفة للشرع، فلا يأتي إنسان ويقول هذه أنظمة باطلة لا نؤمن بها، فتجده يقطع الإشارة ويخالف أنظمة الطرق بحجة أن هذه ليست في كتاب الله، وهذا من أبطل الباطل. الأنظمة التي تخالف الشرع هي التي لا يجوز للحاكم أن يسنها، وأما أنظمة وقوانين لا تخالف الشرع وفيها مصلحة للناس فهنا لا بأس من هذه القوانين ولا بأس من هذه الأنظمة، بل هذه تجب على المسلمين أن يطيعوا ولاة الأمور في هذه الأشياء والأنظمة التي تتمشى مع القواعد وتتمشى مع المصالح، لأنها لم تخالف الشريعة. فما كان فيه تمشيا مع ما ينفع الناس فهذا يجب على المسلم أن يسمع ويطيع لولاة أمره، ولا يقول ولا يحل له أن يخالف هذه القواعد والأنظمة، سواء ما يتعلق بالطرق أو ما يتعلق بالتجارة أو ما يتعلق بالسفر أو ما يتعلق بأحوال العمال وأنظمة المرور وكل ذلك. نعم.
We must know exactly what is meant when we say ruling by what Allah has revealed. Is the meaning of this ruling by what Allah has revealed only ruling by what we find evidence for specifically mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah? Or does it have a slightly wider meaning than that? Is there a little bit more that goes along with it than that? Indeed, there is. When we say ruling by what Allah has revealed, we don't mean only ruling by what we find in the Quran and Sunnah. We mean, in addition to that, everything that does not go against the Quran and or Sunnah. if we were to say that it's an obligation only to rule by what you find in the Quran, so that this would place a great hardship upon the Muslims. And Allah says, مَا جَعَرَ عَلَيْكُمْ تَبْجِينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He has placed no hardship in you, upon you in the religion. Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said concerning some of the modern-day laws that some of them, there is benefit in them, and there is no, they are not in contradiction with the Sharia in any way, and so therefore we take them. We take them. An example of these are the laws related to traffic. Traffic laws. Stopping at a red light. These laws don't go in contradiction to the Sharia in any way. Quite to the contrary, these benefit the Muslims. We benefit by having traffic laws in place. Our safety is kept by these laws. And there's nothing that goes against the Sharia in following laws. There's nothing haram about stopping at a red light. There's nothing haram about driving at a certain speed limit on residential roads. So when you find ignorant people running red lights and claiming that there's nowhere in the Quran that says that to stop at a red light, you should know that this person is a total idiot. The hakim, the person who is in control of a Muslim country, has the right to make laws like this, to say that you must stop at a red light, that you must drive at a certain speed and not go faster than that in residential areas and so on and so forth. He has the right to do this, and the Muslims have the obligation to obey him in these affairs, because this is for the general welfare of the Muslims. Muslims benefit from laws like this, as long as these laws don't go against the Sharia. Anything that a Muslim ruler puts in place, we are to obey it. We are to obey it. We are to take the same approach that we take when, as Allah says, obey Allah and the Messenger, and those in positions of authority over you are stamped towards these things, towards these laws, that we listen to and obey them. And so whatever laws Muslim rulers put in place, traffic laws, business laws, laws that have to do with traveling and getting a visa before you enter or leave a country, laws that deal with how you employ people and pay them on time and the likes, all these are in the benefit and general welfare of the Muslims, and so whenever we find them, we must obey them. Come with us now.
الخوارج الذين كانوا في زمن علي كانوا دائما يستدلون بقوله تعالى إن الحكم إلا لله فيقولون لا حكم إلا لله فكفروا المسلمين. وهكذا الخوارج اليوم الذين في بلاد المسلمين وفي بلاد الكفار أيضا تجدهم يأتون إلى هذه الأمور فيكفرون المسلمين فيقولون لا حكم إلا لله فيخالفون هذه الأنظمة. لما نظرهم عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه استدل بقوله تعالى فبعثوا حكما من أهلها وحكما من أهلها وبقوله تعالى يحكم به ذو عدل منكم فأثبت في الآيتين أن الناس تحكم. فهذا الرجل سماه الله حكما وهو يحكم بين الزوجين. فهذه الأنظمة التي تضعها الدولة هي من باب المصالح المرسلة فهي مقبولة وهي مطلوبة لا تخالف الشرع. ولهذا نجد بعض من يعيش في بلاد الكفار يستحل أموال الكفار وكذلك يخالف الأنظمة وكذلك قد يبيع المحرمات للكفار على أساس أنهم كفار لا بأس. وهذا كله لا يجوز. لماذا؟ لأنه لما دخل بلاد الكفار أخذوا منه العهد وأخذوا منه الميثاق أن يلتزم بهذه الأمور. فما دام هذه الأمور مباحة يجب عليه أن يلتزم بها. الله يقول وأوفوا بعهد الله إذا عاهدتم. وهذا عام سواء عاهدت كافرا أو عاهدت مسلما. ويقول الله لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. ومعروف الأمان بالنسبة للمسلمين. فقد أجمع العلماء على أن الكافر إذا دخل بلاد المسلمين وأخذ العهد لا يجوز أذيته ولا يجوز نقض العهد. ولهذا نجد في حديث رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام قال عليه الصلاة والسلام ذمة المسلمين واحدة ذمة المسلمين واحدة يسعى بها أدناهم. يعني بمعنى أنه لا يجوز أن تغدر المسلم لا يقدر بالكافر إلا أعطاه العهد، ولهذا يرفع لكل غادر لواء يوم القيامة فيقال هذه غدرة فلان. فكل ذلك من المحرمات للأسف الذي يفعله هؤلاء الذين هم أرباب هذا الفكر، وهم في الحقيقة أتباع الخوارج، يأتون إلى النصوص التي كان يستدل بها الخوارج فينزلونها على المسلمين ويخالفون بها كتاب الله وسنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولم يستفيدوا هذا التكفير وهذه الآراء إلا من كتب سيد قطب وكتب أبي محمد المقدسي وكذلك كتب التكفيريين الذين عرفوا بتكفير المسلمين والحكم عليهم بأنهم كفار. نعم.
The Khawarij in times of old would always say the ruling and judgment is only for Allah. And likewise they do so in our day and time. Based upon this statement, they have made takfir upon the Muslims. And likewise today they do the same thing. They do so in Muslim lands, and some living in non-Muslim lands do the same thing. We find that Ibn Abbas, when he went to debate with the Khawarij, he proved to them through the book of Allah that people do indeed judge. That Allah himself said that people judge. When Allah talked about divorce and how before any divorce takes place, how the couple should go get a judge from the man's family and a judge from the woman's family to try to reconcile and bring them back together so they can reconcile things and not get divorced. Allah called them what? A judge. Bring a judge from his family and a judge from her family. Likewise, talking about the rulings of if a person were to hunt for an animal while in Mecca, which hunting is not allowed there. He said if someone were to do it, people would judge the size of the animal and the person would have to pay an expiation based upon the size of the animal that others had judged in. And so Allah is calling the people what? He's calling them judges, saying that people do indeed judge. When Muslim leaders put laws in place that are not specifically mentioned in Quran and Sunnah, as long as there is no contradiction to the Sharia, these laws are acceptable and these laws are something that we must abide by. Some Muslims, especially those living in non-Muslim lands, they say that we don't have to obey the laws here because these laws are man-made laws and furthermore they're laws made by disbelievers. And so therefore they say that it's permissible for them to go and steal disbelievers' money or to sell things which is haram to sell to the disbelievers. Sell them drugs, for example. And say, well, I don't have to obey the laws here. And so in the name of doing this, they will do everything that is haram in the religion of Allah based upon their false interpretation and their erroneous understanding of what it means to obey leaders and what it means to rule by other than what Allah has revealed. When a Muslim goes to live in a non-Muslim country, he has been given a truce, meaning that based upon this truce, he has the right to live in that country, but he has to abide by all of the laws. And that's what that's what's meant when he's given a visa to enter the country. And Allah commands us to abide by the truces which we make. And he says, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ, and stick to the covenant of Allah when you make covenants. And Allah says, وَتَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not betray Allah and betray the Messenger and betray your trust, and you know the consequences thereof. And so we are forbidden from betraying any trust that we have been given. There is an ijma', a mutual consensus amongst the scholars, that if a disbeliever were to enter into a Muslim land, and he has been given permission by a Muslim individual or authority to enter the land, that no one is allowed to harm him. Not a Muslim authority, not a Muslim civilian. If he has been given permission by anyone to enter into a Muslim land, no one may harm him in any way, shape, or form. We have the hadith of the Messenger, in which he said that the responsibility of the Muslims is one. This is given by the least of them. meaning that if any Muslim, not even a Muslim leader, a Muslim civilian who has no power whatsoever, if he gives someone a truce, even a Muslim civilian, if he tells another non-Muslim that you are allowed to come visit me, then no one is allowed to harm him while he's in the Muslim land, because one Muslim gave him permission to enter. And thus, his promise, his word, applies to everyone else. He gave him permission. He said that, basically, I'm giving you a truce. You're allowed to enter, and you're safe as long as you're here. That means nobody can break that truce that one Muslim, even though he is the least of the Muslims, has extended to the disbeliever. Doing otherwise, harming a Muslim, harming a non-Muslim, when he's entered into a Muslim land, believing himself to be safe and under the protection and enjoying a truce while there, breaking this is treachery. And treachery is something which is punishable on the day of resurrection. As Mr. Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every treacherous person will have a flag on the day of resurrection. A flag will be raised up saying, this is the treachery committed by so-and-so, and his name will be mentioned. And so when the followers of the Khawarij take the evidence that they use to prove that the Muslims are not ruling by the Book of Allah, and therefore they don't have to abide by the laws, either in Muslim lands or non-Muslim lands, they're going specifically in contradiction to the teachings of the Quran and of the Sunnah. And everyone, you'll find that everyone who does so in our day and time, you will never find a person who makes such outrageous claims. Such claims that they don't have to abide by the laws in the Muslim lands or the non-Muslim lands. You'll never find a person making these outrageous claims except that he has read the books of Sayyid Qutb and the books of Muhammad al-Naqdisi and the books of the other Khawarij.
ولهذا الوفاء بالعهد من الشيم التي كانت في رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام وعلمها أصحابه وأمر بها. فلا يجوز للمسلم إذا أعطى عهدا حتى لو كان في بلاد الكفار أن يغدر الغدر من صفة المنافقين. ولهذا جاء في سنن أبي داود أن معاوية رضي الله عنه كان بينه وبين الروم عهد، وكان بقيت أيام وسينتهي هذا العهد، فماذا صنع معاوية؟ أراد أن يتقدم وأن يسير إلى بلادهم حتى إذا انقضى العهد يكون قد غزاهم ويكون قريبا منهم. فجاء له رجل وقال الله أكبر الله أكبر، وفاء لا غدر، هكذا يقول لمعاوية، وفاء لا غدر. فإذا به عمرو بن عبسة رضي الله عنه، فأرسل إليه معاوية، فقال عمرو بن عبسة: سمعت النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول: من كان بينه وبين قوم عهد لا يشد عقدة ولا يحلها حتى ينقضي أمدها أو ينبل إليهم على سواء. يعني بمعنى ما دام أنك بينك وبينهم عهد، مع أنهم كفار، هم روم، هم أعداء الله وأعداء رسوله، ما قال معاوية سأغزوهم ولا ألتفت إلى العهد والعقد، بل إن عمرو بن عبسة ذكره بحديث رسول الله، فرجع معاوية فقال له: من كان بينه وبين قوم عهد لا يشد عقدة ولا يحلها، يعني لا يجوز لك أن تفعل شيء يخالف هذا العهد ويخالف هذا العقد حتى تنتهي المدة، مدة العقد. فرجع معاوية ولم يتقدم. فانظروا إلى الوفاء الذي كان عند الصحابة مع أن الخصوم هم كفار، فهذا وفاء لا غدر فيه، وهذا هو الواجب، أن تكون وفيا. نعم.
Loyalty and keeping one's promises and trust is one of the characteristics of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he himself held to, in which he taught his companions, and which he commanded them to abide by. It's not permissible for anyone, if he makes an agreement, to break that agreement, or if he makes a truce, to break that truce, as this is one of the characteristics of the hypocrites, that when they make promises, they break them. We find in the Sunan of Abi Dawud that Mu'awiyah, he had a covenant, he had a truce with the Romans. He had a truce with the Romans, that they were not going to go to war with one another. And they had made a specific time for that truce that was going to last for a specific period. Just a few days before it was about to end, Muawiyah had decided that he was going to travel to get near their land, such that as soon as the truce was over, that he was going to attack them. Then a man came to him and said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Loyalty, not treachery. And then Amr ibn Abasa sent a letter to Muawiyah saying that he informed Muawiyah that he heard the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has a truce with a certain people should not travel in order to attack them until that truce has finished. And so, as long as he had this truce, he was not allowed to travel. Even though the attack wouldn't take place until the truce was already finished, he is not allowed to even travel until the period has ended. In spite of the fact that these were the enemies, enemies of Islam, enemies of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, Amr ibn Abbas reminded Muawiyah of this hadith that Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said. He backed off and he changed his position. And this was the position of the Sahaba. When it came to their truces, even though they were with the enemies of Allah, they respected their truces and were not treacherous. Tawbah fi'an.
لهذا ما دام أن الأمر كما ذكرنا في الحاكمية فلا بد أن نفصل في الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله الذي عليه أهل السنة والجماعة هو التفصيل في هذه المسألة فيقولون إن الحاكم بغير ما أنزل الله لا يكفر الكفر الأكبر الذي هو مخرج من الملة إلا في حالات معينة الحالة الأولى أن يعتقد أن الحكم بما أنزل الله غير واجب أو يجوز له أن يتركه من أي مباح وجائز وليس واجبا عليه الحالة الثانية أن يقدم حكم البشر حكم غير الله على حكم الله عز وجل وذلك أن يرى أن حكم غير الله أفضل أو أنسب أو أنه يساوي حكم الله فهذا كافر الحالة الأولى والحالة الثانية صاحبها كافر لكن إذا كان لا يعتقد أن ما يحكم به وهو حكم غير ما أنزل الله ولا يعتقد هذا الذي أشرنا إليه بل يعتقد أن هذا هو حكم الله وأنه يجب أن يحكم شرع الله فهذا مسلم ولم يرتكب ناقضا من نواقض الإسلام لأنه يعتقد أن هذا هو حكم الله وأن الله أنزله وأنه هو أفضل حكم لكنه حكم بغيره فلا يكفر ولهذا ابن عباس جاء عنه بإسناد صحيح كان يقول إنه ليس بالكفر الذي تذهبون إليه في تفسير قوله تعالى ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون فهذه من الحجج التي احتج بها هؤلاء الخوارج فكانوا يكفرون المسلمين فابن عباس كان يرد عليهم كما عند الطبري وغيره فيقول إنه ليس بالكفر الذي تذهبون إليه إنه ليس كفرا ينقل عن الملة كفر دون كفر وهكذا السلف من تلاميذ ابن عباس ولا يعرف له مخالف كسعيد بن جبير وعطاء بن أبي رباح وكذلك لاحق بن حميد كلهم كانوا يفسرون الآيات بهذا فيستدلون بأثر ابن عباس في تفسير الآية فهذا الذي عليه السلف وهذا الذي عليه أهل السنة نعم أن يقدم حكم غير الله الذي هو حكم البشر على حكم الله ويزعم أو يرى أن حكم غير الله هو أفضل وأنسب وأنه قد يكون مساويا لحكم الله فهذا كافر والعياذ بالله يكفر الكفر الأكبر المخرج من الملة أما إذا كان الحاكم لا يعتقد ذلك ويعتقد أن حكم الله هو الأفضل والأنسب ويعتقد أنه واجب لكنه حكم بهذا الحكم وخالف شرع الله فهذا لا يكفر ولا يرتكب ناقضا من نواقض الإسلام. نعم ارتكب معصية، ارتكب جرما، لكنه لا يكفر. وهذا ما كان يفسره ابن عباس رضي الله عنه في قوله تعالى: ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله، كان يقول إنه ليس بالكفر الذي إنه ليس بالكفر الذي تذهبون إليه، إنه ليس كفرا ينقل عن الملة، هو كفر دون كفر. وهكذا طلاب ابن عباس كسعيد بن جبير وعطاء بن أبي رباح وطاووس كانوا يفسرونها كما سمعوا ابن عباس، وكذلك لاحق بن حميد. هذه الآية: ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون، كان يستدل بها الخوارج ويكفرون بها المسلمين، وكفروا عليا وكفروا عثمان وزعموا أن عليا حكم الرجال، فنظره ابن عباس ورجع منهم من رجع وبقي منهم من بقي فقتلهم علي رضي الله عنهم. إذا لا بد من الفهم الصحيح، الفهم الذي ينبني على فهم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. نعم.
And so when it comes to the issue of Al-Hakimiyya, we have to explain it in detail, because it's not a black and white issue, it's in detail and serious. Hassan al-Jama'ah say that the person who is a ruler and rules by others than what Allah has revealed, he does not leave Islam, he does not fall into apostasy due to this in every single situation. There are only certain situations in which a person actually leave Islam by doing this. The first of those is that he believes man-made laws to be better than the laws of Allah, or he believes it to be permissible to rule by other than the laws of Allah. This is the type of person that actually leaves the fold of Islam through this belief. The second is if he gives preference to man-made laws over those of Allah, believing them to be equal. He said that, you know, this one is just as good as this man-made law, is just as good as the law of Allah. He sees that they are equal. This is the person who actually leaves the fold of Islam. However, the Muslim ruler believes that the laws of Allah are superior. Yet, he's ruling by other than them because of some reason, some financial benefit, or whatever he's gaining out of it. And he doesn't leave the fold of Islam thereby. Yes, he is committing a sin by doing this. However, he does not leave the fold of Islam. And thus, Ibn Abbas gave the interpretation of the verse always quoted out of context by the Khawarij: وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then those are the disbelievers. He interpreted this to mean, as he said, this is not the kufr that you understand. This is a kufr without kufr, meaning this is a sin, yes, a sinful act. However, it does not cause a person to leave the religion of Islam. This was how Ibn Abbas interpreted the ayah. This was how many of the other great scholars of tafsir from the Tabi'een interpreted the ayah, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, Tawus, and others in them. And so this ayah, which is used as evidence, cited as evidence by the Khawarij to make the clear on all of the Muslims, we see that they understand it faulty. Their understanding of the ayah is faulty. And thus, when Ibn Abbas went to debate with the Khawarij, he explained to them the incorrect interpretation of this, and many of them returned. Many of them gave up their stance. They repented from the faulty position that they had taken and returned to the correct opinion. Those who didn't and continue to fight against Ali, were fought against. And so we must have the correct interpretation of the Book of Allah, the verses from the Book of Allah. And this is the interpretation of our pious predecessors.
ولهذا ذكر العلماء النجاشي رحمه الله الذي صلى عليه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وشهد له أنه أخ صالح وصلى عليه لما مات. النجاشي كان هو ملك، وهو ملك النصارى، قومه ما أطاعوا في الدخول في الإسلام، إنما دخل معه نفر منهم فقط، ولهذا لما مات لم يكن هناك من يصلي عليه، فصلى عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالمدينة، وخرج بالمسلمين كما ذكر ذلك شيخ الإسلام تيمية، فقال إن أخا صالحا من أهل الحبشة مات ماذا ذكر شيخ الإسلام؟ ذكر أن كثيرا من شرائع الإسلام لم يكن دخل فيها النجاشي لعجزه عن ذلك، فلم يهاجر ولم يجاهد ولا حج البيت، هكذا ذكر شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله. ومع ذلك لم يحكم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بخروجه من الإسلام، فالنجاشي وحكمه للحبشة ما كان بشرع الله. هذا يؤكد أن الآية ليس على إطلاقها، ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون، أننا نكفر كل من حكم، كل من لم يحكم بما أنزل الله. لا بد من النظر في التفصيل الذي أشرنا إليه آنفا، ولهذا المفسرون كما أشرنا يقولون من جحد الحكم بما أنزل الله فهذا الذي كفر، أما من أقر به ولم يحكم به فهو ظالم، هو فاسق. لماذا؟ لأن الآية جاءت من لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الظالمون، وجاءت من لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الفاسقون، وهكذا ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. فلا بد إذن من هذا التفصيل. نعم.
أنا هم نفسي جانت النجاشي هو في كين أو أبسينيا. The one who the Prophet ﷺ himself made a funeral prayer for when he died. He was the king, a Christian king of Abyssinia, and when the Muslims came to him, he accepted Islam. However, his people did not obey him. His people did not enter into Islam along with him. There were only a handful of individuals who accepted Islam along with him. To the extent that there was no one to make a funeral prayer there with him at the time that he died. So Shaykh al-Sanithin, rahimahullah, mentioned that in the saying of the Messenger of Allah, he said, in Medina, after the Hijrah, that when Najashi had died, Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, a righteous brother from Habasha, from Abyssinia, has died. And so he performed the funeral prayer for him. And Najashi did not do the things that were made obligatory upon the Muslims, the laws that were revealed by Allah, that were revealed for the Muslims after the Hijrah. He never made Hijrah. Najashi never made Hijrah. Najashi never joined Jihad. And Najashi never made Hajj. And in spite of this, the Prophet ﷺ did not say that he had committed kufr. The Prophet ﷺ did not rule that he was a disbeliever. In fact, he declared that he died as a believer and himself prayed the janazah for him. And so when it comes to the verse, always cited by the Khawarij, word is not judged by what Allah has revealed, and those are the disbelievers. Not everyone who rules by other than what Allah has revealed is a disbeliever. There's some detail, not a black and white issue. There's a little gray area here. And there's some detail that must be explained, as was explained by the scholars of Tafsir. And so we find that after this ayah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, whoever is not judged by what Allah has revealed, those are the disbelievers. There are two more ayahs that come shortly after it. Whoever is not judged by what Allah has revealed, then those are the oppressors. And whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then those are the sinful. So depending on the circumstances of the person who does not judge by what Allah has ruled, he could be a disbeliever, possibly, or a transgressor, or a sinful person. And thus, we have to look into the details of the situation of the person. And the case is not that everyone who rules by other than what Allah has revealed, that he has left the religion of Islam and taken upon. That is incorrect. Come on, sir.
لا بد من التفصيل في هذه المسائل، وهذا مرجعها إلى فهم السلف وإلى العلماء الراسخين حتى في بيان مسألة الخروج عن الحاكم الكافر. هذه من المسائل المهمة وهي من الأهمية بمكان. لا بد أن نوضح للناس مسألة الخروج على الحاكم الكافر. أما المسلم فقد مر معنا في أول الكلمة ما هي عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة في الحاكم المسلم. معروف أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أمر المسلمين بالسمع والطاعة في المنشط والمكره وفي العسر وفي اليسر، وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام وأن لا ننازع الأمر أهله إلا أن تروا كفرا بواحا عندكم من الله فيه برهان. إذا هذه الشروط، أن ترى كفرا بواحا وأن يكون عندك من الله فيه برهان. ثم استنبط العلماء شرطا آخر وهو شرط مهم، وهو القدرة على إزالة هذا الكافر. فعندما تريد أن تخرج على الحاكم الكافر لا لابد أن يكون عندك الاستطاعة والقدرة. فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم واسمعوا وأطيعوا. من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده، فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه، فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه، وذلك أضعف الإيمان، وذلك أضعف الإيمان. فإذا كنت ستغير المنكر ويستلزم من ذلك أنه يكون أنكر وأبغض إلى الله ورسوله، كالذي يخرج على الحاكم الكافر ويذهب بدماء المسلمين فيتسلط على الكافر على المسلمين ويقتلهم كما حصل في سوريا وغيرها، فهذا لا شك أنه لا يجوز. فالعلماء لما جاءوا إلى قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام إلا أن تروا كفرا بواحا، قال إذا رأى المسلمون كفرا بواحا وعندهم برهان فلا بأس أن يخرجوا على السلطان لإزالته، لكن لابد من القوة حتى يستطيعوا أن يزيلوا هذا السلطان. أما أن يدرعوا الشر بشر أكبر وأكثر منهم فهذا لا يجوز بإجماع المسلمين. نعم.
And so there is some detail that must be explained when it comes to our understanding of these verses. And that understanding and that detail must come from the understanding of our pious predecessors. When it comes to trying to overthrow a ruler who is a non-Muslim, clearly a non-Muslim. This is also, as I said, that we are not to try to overthrow or go against Muslim rulers. Even when it comes to a non-Muslim ruler, we must explain that there is some detail when it comes to this. And it's not permissible in every situation. As we previously explained, Sunnah al-Jama'a believes that we must abide by our treaties, our covenants, our truces that we make with disbelievers. And we must listen to and obey our Muslim leaders, both in the things that we like and the things that we don't like, in times of ease and in times of hardship. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when teaching this to his companions, he said that the people in control are not to be fought for that control unless blatant kufr is seen on their part. Unless they go out broad daylight committing kufr, it's clear, no doubt about it, they are committing kufr. And even then he said that they're committing blatant kufr, clear, plain as day kufr, and you have some authority from Allah. And so these are the two conditions. When it comes to fighting against trying to overthrow a Muslim ruler, these are the conditions given by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're never to disobey a Muslim ruler, never to try to overthrow a Muslim ruler unless he commits plain as day kufr. The Prophet have added a third condition, and that is that you have the ability to do so. If you don't have the means of removing a disbelieving ruler and replacing him, then it's not permissible to try to overthrow him. As the Prophet said, fear Allah the best of your ability, and listen to and obey your rulers. And he said, whoever from amongst you sees something evil, let him change it with his hand. If he's not able, let him change it with his tongue, speak out against it. And if he's not able, let him hate it in his heart. And that's the weakest state. And so, changing something that's evil is tied to the ability to do so. You can only change something if you have the ability to do so. If you don't have the ability, you're not allowed by Islamic law to go try to change it. Because what's going to happen is that evil that you're trying to change is going to result in an even greater evil. You're going to make something bad, even worse. And so, you'll find that the people who have tried to change some evil, when they didn't have the ability to do so, they have brought about even greater evil, leading to the shedding of the blood of innocent Muslims. And this is exactly what has happened in our day and time in Syria. Because the people did not have the ability to overthrow and change the ruler and replace him, they were changing something with evil, but they brought about an even greater evil. And this is what is not allowed. It's under no circumstances is it permissible to try to in these situations, change the evil when you don't have the ability to do away with it and replace it with something better. You're going to try to change something evil and you bring about something that's even worse. That's not permissible under any circumstances. And so we have conditions for the permissibility of trying to defy and overthrow leaders. One is that they be a disbeliever. Commit shirk, plain as day. Two, that you have some authority from Allah. There's no doubt about this. You know without doubt it's shirk what they are doing. And three, the ulama of Arish, you must have the ability to do so from the shirk.
ولعلنا نختم هذه الكلمة، ولكن قبل أن نختم نقول إن هذه الحاكمية لا بد أن تدرس دراسة جيدة وأن يعتنى بهذه المصطلحات ويبين ما عند أهل العلم في هذه المصطلحات التي لها علاقة بالعقيدة. فهذا المصطلح أخذه التكفيريون وجماعة التكفير والخوارج وجنت عليه، فأخذوا يكفرون الحاكم والمحكوم، وأخذوا كذلك الخروج ينادون بالخروج على الحاكم، فأثاروا المسلمين وسفكوا الدماء وحصل ما حصل من الفساد. وكذلك نكرر ونعيد أن هذا المصطلح أكثر من نشره هو أبو عبد الأعلى، أبو الأعلى المودودي وسيد قطب. وكذلك كما أشرنا أيضا إن من الأسباب هي الغلو والجهل بدين الله واتباع الهوى. وأيضا ينبغي أن نعلم أن مشايخنا وعلماءنا لم يقصروا في هذا الباب، فقد بيّنوا الحق في مسألة الحاكمية وفصلوا فيها، وبيّنوا التكفير والعنف الذي خرج من جماعة الإخوان المسلمين، فأسامة بن لادن وأيمن الظواهري هم الذين كانوا يقودون الشباب إلى هذا العنف ويرمونهم إلى الهاوية، وألفوا الكتب التي تنشر هذا الفكر الخبيث الذي أضر بأولاد المسلمين. وكذلك لا بد من توضيح مسألة الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله، وقد وضحنا ذلك كما وضحها العلماء، وأن فيها تفصيل ومتى يكون كفر أكبر ومتى يكون كفر أصغر. فلعلنا تكلمنا عن بعض العناصر المهمة في هذه الكلمة وقد طال بنا الوقت، وهناك بقي ما يتعلق ببعض الشبه التي أثارها هؤلاء. تعالى الله عز وجل ييسر لنا لقاء آخر. وفق الله الجميع لما يحبه ويرضاه، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.
حمد الله تعالى. Perhaps we shall conclude our sitting, but before doing so, we would like to reiterate a couple of points. That is that one, the issue of al-hakimiyya must be studied well, and we must show how it relates to our aqidah. We must show the relationship between this and our belief and study it well. And know that the people who have promoted this idea have used it to make takfir, both on Muslim leaders and Muslim civilians. And in doing so, they have been the cause of shedding much blood of innocent Muslims, and they have spread much corruption throughout the earth. And we repeat that the main proponents, the main people responsible for teaching this corrupt idea of al-Hakimiyya are Abu al-A'la al-Mawdudi and Sayyid Qutb. These are the main people responsible for teaching this despicable ideology, which goes in contradiction to our system of creed. We also repeat that from amongst the reasons for people falling into this erroneous belief is their extremism in their approach to understanding the religion, their ignorance and failure to learn the religion properly, and because of them following their desires. And we say that ulama have not had any shortcomings when it comes to clarifying this issue to the people. Rather, they have written about it extensively, talked about it extensively in lectures and classes. And so the issue has been studied well and clarified well to the people. And those who put forward the idea of violence and extremism, violent extremism, the likes of Osama bin Laden, the likes of Ayman al-Bawahiri, and the rest of the people who are followers of the Muslim Brotherhood, they have spread throughout the masses of the Muslims an ideology which is despicable and has brought nothing good about. It has only harmed humanity and has only harmed the Muslims in particular. Also, when it comes to the issue of ruling by others than what Allah has revealed, this is not a black and white issue. Rather, there are many areas of gray, many shades of gray between them, which must be studied, and perhaps we have mentioned a few of them, which may be a benefit. And in concluding, there are some arguments, some false arguments that are put forth, which confuse many people that are related to this topic, and perhaps if Allah facilitates in the future, we will have another time to speak only about these. We ask Allah to guide us to all that is pleasing to Him. Allah knows best and may His peace and blessings be upon us and Muhammad. JazakAllah khairan, Shaykh. Allah is welcome.